You've had a great disturbance in the force.
I have a very bad feeling about this.
Oh, great adventure. Little secret. Jedi craves not these things.
We would be honored if you would join us.
I got a bad feeling about this.
So who talks first? You talk first? I talk first.
Go switch off!
This is the 2BT, 2BT podcast. Daddy and Dave are awesome!
It's gonna pull this up. It's gonna pull up the Solo trailer. In case we wanted to look at it and talk about it.
Yeah, I definitely want to look at it again.
I'm gonna try to.
I got excited when I don't know if I got a message.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, you messaged and said it's up or something like that. And
yeah.
I watched it and I was like, man, I got chills a couple of times.
Oh, dude. From watching it. Good Lord.
I was listening to, I think it was Rebel Force Radio.
Yeah.
And they're like, he's too short. He's not tall enough to be Han Solo. My God, you're not gonna find the perfect body.
No, you're not. And that's the thing, man. Like, you just kind of be happy with what you get on that. And I hate being that guy that says that, but you know, unless you clone Harrison Ford, you're not gonna find the perfect.
No one's gonna sound just like him, look just like him.
Especially with, you know, a character that's Han Solo, that's ingrained in pop culture, like what he is, you know. And I mean, a lot of people think Harrison Ford, they think of two characters. Yeah. One's Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones, I would go out on a limb and say, is probably the most popular.
Yeah.
And then the second one would be Han Solo.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think you're right.
And the funny thing is like, I think he's notoriously also known for not really liking playing the part of Han Solo, just because...
Well, is it... I remember hearing that one of the things that made him agree to come back for the last movie of The Force Awakens was if he got killed off.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't want to do this anymore.
Well, and that's the thing, man. Like, he, you know, I don't know if that was ever in the contract. Like, look, I'll come back and do it as long as you kill, but as long as you kill me. Like,
please kill me. Please.
It's like the, I think it's Stan's grandpa in South Park or whatever, who's always like, kill me. But, yeah, man, I don't know how true that is, but I do know that, like, you know, that was his big thing with Return of the Jedi, is that, you know, he thought that the character should have made the ultimate sacrifice and died for all his friends. And even the reason why they froze him in carbonite at the end of Empire Strikes Back is because he was only one of the big three that they did not have on contract.
So it might have ended up him just being
dead. It could have easily ended up with him just...
Did he just not like the role, or did he get tired of being associated with something?
From what I understand, it was that he didn't see where there was any more growth with that character. So he kind of thought it was, I won't say useless or pointless, but he didn't said that there wasn't any more growth in it. So we're going to set that right there, and we're going to see if the microphone... Yeah, slide that back some, and I'm going to try to lower that mic stand without making a whole heck of a lot of noise and see how that works out. We are 2BT. I'm David.
I'm Michael.
I know, that's a really lively intro there, fellas. Sorry about that.
We've got so much energy. We got a lot going on here.
We do.
Stormtrooper helmet Steve is not even looking at me. He's mad at me.
He is. He's
turned away from me.
We put Steve in the corner. Nobody put Steve in a corner. We'll see if that picks that up. If that doesn't pick it up, I'm sorry.
It doesn't matter.
You guys don't get to hear the sound, but we're going to probably play the trailer for Solo here in just a second. And we're going to, like, talk about it a little bit. Because I didn't really prepare much.
I want to talk about, you finished the novel.
Oh, yes.
Novelization of The Last Jedi.
Last Jedi.
And I kept telling you, and I feel bad for doing this. I kept like teasing, like, oh my God,
chapter
25 changes so much in my head. Oh my God, chapter 27, you're going to cry. Oh, the very last scene is you're going to break out weeping. They ruined the movie by not putting this scene in there.
Oh, yeah.
And you agreed when you got to that.
I did. That was one of those that, like, I even feel like if Rian Johnson ever reads the novelization of the film, of the book, whatever. I can't talk. Anyways, if Rian Johnson ever reads the book, he will
kick himself for not thinking.
Kick himself for not thinking of that, because that was. I was sitting there at work, and I was like, "Oh man, oh man."
There's that. We've got some interesting news about Mark Hamill, another character that may probably show up in the next movie. You have an interesting idea about what the next movie might kind of deal with.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We'll
get into that. And, like I said, the book. And, yeah, there's always something to talk about.
Oh, first, God, yeah.
We'll start with Solo.
Start with Solo. Yeah, let's just go ahead and hit play on this, man. So we're going to hit play here. This isn't going to be very professional.
Well, we're not professionals. You just grab it.
Try to take that. Oh, there we go.
Oh, don't grab that.
Yeah. Hey. Whoa, that's what she said.
Ouch. Oh, yeah, that's why you had it muted.
Well, I thought I had maybe one of my flipped it. Side. There we go. We'll just start it right back on over.
Steve's not here, and we just.
Steve's not here, and we just. You know, Steven hates us, so.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Love the music.
Oh, yeah. Has that Western feel to the music.
Yeah, and it is a Western, man.
Yeah. And totally, especially by that shot and that shot that right shot. There. I love that, where he walks into the frame, and it has that gunslinger feel to it.
Gunslinger blaster right there. He's got low on his hip.
He's got the holster for the gunslinger. He's got the strap for the gunslinger. He's got the stance for the gunslinger. He's got the hand for the gunslinger. It is a gunslinger total move, and if you watch, when I hit play here in just a second, you'll see where he does the little flip and unlocks
just like you would on an old Western movie.
Oh yeah,
walking up High Noon, you know, face off yeah. against the other guys.
I love it.
Even Ford, even the way Ford played Han Solo seemed kind of like he was playing it like a cowboy, kind of an outlaw. Anyhow.
Oh yeah, I always thought so, and that's what's funny is like, and a lot of things that, well, I won't say a lot of things, but what people don't realize is like, if you actually, I think it's in Return of the Jedi, or not Return of the Jedi, it's Empire Strikes Back. If you listen to one of her Boba Fett walks, they have a Spurs jingle.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I hadn't caught that.
Yeah, I think it's Empire. It's either Empire or Return of the Jedi, one of the two, because there's. Only the two officially movies where he was in until they, you know, CGI'd him into episode 4. But still. So, yeah, see the little snap?
Yep, yep.
Pulls it up. Even right there, there was another one.
There's Lando.
Dude, yeah, I'm... Or is it something else? That's what I'm excited about.
I wonder if that... I wonder if that poker game they're playing, if that's where he wins...
When's the Falcon? That's a good question. Well, and like, I guess, well, even in the last, I don't think so, because in The Last Jedi, even the novelization for The Last Jedi says that, you know, he has the dice hung from the, I won't say rearview mirror, but basically what they did, hung the dice from.
If there was a rearview
mirror. Yeah, if there was a rearview mirror on the Falcon, that's where the dice would be hanging.
And that's from the dice.
In the, book, even in the novelization, it says something about that he gives, you know, either whenever he took the dice down or whenever he gave them to Leia, it was the dice that Solo Han used to win the Falcon.
Yeah.
So, but obviously, I really hope that they show us him winning the Millennium Falcon. I cannot talk.
Hope
dude.
So.
I, that's one thing I really, really, really do want to see. Woody Harrelson. You gotta love Woody Harrelson. I'm kind of curious as if Woody Harrelson's character is gonna be.
Kisses the gun and gives. That's how he gets his blaster.
See, and that's what I'm wondering if that's where he gets the blaster. What is it like? I think it's like a DL-44.
That's what
or something.
The rumor is. A lot of people are saying this has got to be the scene where that famous blaster. He gets it.
Yeah,
because he's telling Harrelson, like, I'm all in, you know.
And yeah,
Harrelson kisses the pistol or blaster and tosses it to him.
I'm curious about Woody Harrelson's character though. I mean, I love Woody Harrelson. I haven't seen a movie that I didn't like him in. I'm just curious, like, is he going to play the character kind of how he typically does, which is like. Yeah, you know, I will say, except for, well, even in the Hunger Games, he had those points of just a little bit of crazy, you know, comedy almost at times or whatever. Where it's like, I don't really know if it's intended to be funny, but it comes across funny because of the way he usually typically acts the part or whatever. Right. But yeah, I'm kind of excited to see what he does there. All right, we're going to hit play again. There's, I love that shot of Solo and Chewbacca.
What
do you know?
What is that?
I don't know, man. That was an interesting shot. I don't know. There's, of course, Lando again. I love the design. I love the costume design for Lando. Because even he kind of looks like it all really does have that Old West feel. The characters, at least Lando. Oh, that's their droid. I saw that there for a second. I thought that looked like 4LOM or 4LOM. But the characters so far, to me, all have a Wild West kind of feel to it, which I'm really, really digging. Or at least the costume design, especially Lando. Like, he's got that flip over.
Come with us. You're in this life for good.
You might want to buckle up, baby.
May 25th. Yep. It's such a... I mean, if you're releasing a Star Wars movie in May, and you've got the 25th on like a Saturday or Friday, you've kind of got to do it.
Got to do it.
Now, hold up. Was that...
I've got a really good feeling about this.
Yeah, I do too. Okay, so we're going to back it up. Says. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about the movie. I was like, yeah, dude, me too. There we go. Oh, man. Now we're having issues because I decided to back it up some. I'm going to try to pause it. There. Is that another Wookiee?
I think it is.
So, do we think that's Chewbacca's mate?
Might be.
Because, you know, we all got to meet Chewbacca's wife in the holiday special, which... Have you ever watched it?
I think I watched it when it was on when I was a little kid.
I'm so pretty sure. Of course, I have no memory. Yeah, that's kind of the same here. And it's one of those that's really, really bad.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that I watched it also whenever it was on as a little kid because we were everything Star Wars. And it came out, it was 78. So I'm pretty sure I probably watched it, which if that's the case, we've all seen. I think your name's T'Challa. No, that's T'Challa's from freaking Black Panther. Scruffy. Scruffy. I don't know.
Scruffy Baca.
Right. Anyways.
Could be.
I can't think of his... that goes to show you my knowledge of the freaking Christmas special, the holiday special, because, yeah, I don't know.
A lot of people don't even want it to be acknowledged as existing.
Yeah, but a lot of people are doing everything they can to bring it out. Because, dude, it's so bad. It is so bad. I've only seen pieces of it. I can't sit through the entire thing.
I want to watch it just because...
we should watch it and record a show.
Just for the fun of it.
Yeah.
I might end up walking away... It's one of those, like, some things are so bad that they're good.
Oh yeah.
Now, no. In retrospect,
no, it's not good. That bad. Okay. It is that bad. All right, here we go. We're gonna play again. Yeah.
Because in all the other movies, they always say, how many times do they say, "I got a bad feeling about this"?
Oh yeah.
You look great. You're 190 years old. You look great.
Notice he says push it instead of punch it. That's I did like that they redesigned the cannons on the Falcon so that way you could tell that Han actually, after he won it, did make some upgrades on it, and that the steering yoke, of course, we can all tell has been different. Anyways, okay, here we go. We're going to play it again. I love the design of those range troopers, man.
Yeah.
And then the...
train heist, we're guessing.
Yeah. I'm wondering if that's where Chewbacca gets into the life debt with...
Oh, it might be where he actually rescues Chewbacca.
Yeah, because that's the whole part of him, like, being by his side nonstop because he has a life debt with Han. Yeah, Han saves his life. So I'm curious if that's the part where Han saves his life, and I don't know.
Lots of speculation. It's like, one thing I heard is, like, Chewbacca's indentured or something by the...
By the Empire.
By the Empire, and he gets him out, frees him, and then they're side by side. And then he gets into this thing with Woody Harrelson, joins the gang, and it's kind of like a heist movie. And it's, you know, Heat was an inspiration, one of the inspirations, I think, for this.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's going to be a big deal there.
Oh, yeah. I wish that was one thing that... I wish we still had that list, because you went over the list of what it was that inspired the... I can't remember who it was.
Kasdan.
Yeah, Kasdan. Lawrence Kasdan's son. I can't think of his name. That's just horrible of me. But anyways, Lawrence Kasdan's son to write this, the basis of it. So you can definitely understand that. Well, that's how we got into Tombstone and Tombstone.
Yeah.
So you definitely get the Tombstone feel of it. I'd say almost like the standoff where you see him flip the release on the holster.
Yeah.
Is straight up based from Tombstone and the shootout at the OK Corral because it has that feel of tension. Just, I keep going back to that scene because I love it. I just like the way it's shot. It's even shot like a Western because the camera's right there next to his hip, right there. Center focus is his blaster and the holster.
Yeah, yeah.
And his hand. And it's just one of those classic things that you see in Westerns that they do is they walk up there and, you know, the
doo-doo. Yeah, you'll see the gun on the hip and the opponent of the other end of the street or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just the classic standoff.
Classic standoff, man, and the little... Yeah. Oh, dude, I love it. I can't wait. I'm so, I've been the first to say that I was really, really, really kind of nervous, kind of sketchy about this one. But now that I've seen more of the trailer, I'm so excited. Oh, there it is. I was like, what'd I do with my stylus? Mm. I mean, there's a little bit more. So we're going to play just the last of it and see what happens here. Oh, that was it. Oh, that's it. Yeah. But yeah.
I think it's going to be cool. Everything looks good to me. I think they probably got a good story in line. It looks like it's just gonna be kind of a fun wild fast romp. I'm gonna have to put a lot in. I just wonder, like, they're gonna have the Kessel Run in it, like all these. See, after going to Ready Player One, I'm not gonna have any expectations.
Yeah,
I'm just kind of making guesses about stuff that we're seeing here.
Oh god, yeah.
And you know, he's got to get the Falcon though.
Yeah, and I'm just curious if, like, yeah, he's got to get the Falcon, but I'm just curious if the, because, you know, even the toy that's come out for the Falcon toy that's come out for the Solo movie, it has like the removable hatches. Because if you look at that Falcon there and compare it to the one that's in the OT, it's completely different.
Yeah,
it's apparently has some aesthetics that I guess they didn't need, and it had the
doesn't it have an extra pod at the front? Yeah,
that goes between the two mandibles.
Yeah.
And, you know,
maybe they use it.
Yeah, exactly. If you see the toy in the store somewhere, you can actually look and see that it pops off. And it's like a little, I don't know if it's, you know, obviously we saw in Last Jedi that they actually have a different escape pod somewhere else. So I don't know if that's another escape pod or if that's just supposed to be used as like a, ROV type thing.
Shuttle or something.
Yeah, ROV would be remote operated vehicle, so it's not that. But still, some sort of, you know, extra vehicular type thing or whatever. I don't know, man. Like, it's kind of neat. I'm kind of excited because I'm thinking that we're going to see the Kessel Run, because that's the reason why he kind of like loses a place, because I think there was a little snippet in one of the preview trailers or whatever that had the plates actually popping off the Falcon as they were flying or whatever. So maybe that's what it was. Maybe they were trying to make up time or something like that.
And you know, you don't see a lot of actual acting from, I mean, you hear more Woody Harrelson say more in the trailer than you do Ehrenreich. Did I say his name right?
I think so.
I remember hearing these rumors about, this guy can't act. He can't even barely talk. You know, I've seen him in two movies.
Yeah.
And what I've seen of him, one of them is called Beautiful Creatures.
Okay.
Loved that movie. And he was the movie. He was great in it.
Yeah.
And then the other movie was a Hail Caesar, Coen Brothers movie. And he was key to that movie. He played this dumb hick cowboy. And I always thought he was like a Southerner because he pulls it off so well, that thick Southern accent.
Yeah.
You know, he was born in California. And you know what? The reason he has a career is because of Steven Spielberg.
Oh, really?
He was in a bat mitzvah video for a friend of Steven Spielberg's daughter.
Okay.
And Spielberg's daughter, or this other girl, a friend of his daughter maybe, they made this joke comedy, like a little mini movie to be played at the bat mitzvah.
Yeah.
And Spielberg saw it and was like, whoa, I need to meet this kid. And he kind of helped jumpstart him getting in some acting roles and stuff.
Okay.
So there is a connection to
yeah
the franchise just through that.
Just through that, yeah. And that's pretty cool. Sorry, I was actually trying to look up to see what all he's done, and like I haven't seen anything.
Beautiful Creatures, I highly recommend. Hail Caesar's a good fun movie, funny movie.
If it's I love Coen Brothers movies, man. So that's I didn't realize. Oh, that's one I'll have to check out.
Definitely check that out.
That always kind of trips me out whenever you find out that some of these guys that do really good Southern accents, like I always thought the guy from Walking Dead who plays Carl, not Carl, but the other
Daryl.
No, not Daryl. I can't think of the dude's name.
I haven't watched The Walking Dead.
I haven't either. Dude, I haven't seen The Walking Dead in so long. It's not a show. It's not that I dislike it. It's just that I kind of got like lost. I had a DVR at one point in time. I was actually recording the episodes, and my DVR messed up.
Then
I just kind of like, after that messed up, I was like, well, I could watch it on Netflix, but it's a season behind on Netflix, so I've got to wait almost, you know, a year and a half before I get to watch up. To get caught up. And then by that time, I just like, I was like, okay, I've been this so long much now.
Other stuff.
Yeah. Man, what the devil is that character? It's the sheriff, but you know who I'm talking about.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Didn't know that guy was British at all.
A lot of those Brits coming over here taking those good old American jobs.
Stick our dears.
Oh, God.
We'll build a wall between us and Britain, damn it, and keep them slimy. Anyways.
We've kind of exhausted our solo commentary.
Yeah, we kind of went off the rails.
We don't really know what the heck to expect. I just remembered watching it that night, and you were like, oh my God, oh my God.
Yeah, it's building a wall between us and Britain. That'll do it, like right there. That'll get anybody off the track.
You didn't see the news this week about how Mark Hamill, you know, one of the things we had hoped for is Mark Hamill coming back as a Force ghost, right? Apparently, he's not looking forward to coming back.
Really?
Because... Well, Carrie's gone.
Yeah.
His explanation is, you know, it's kind of lost. I don't really. He said in an interview something like he doesn't really have much interest in it.
Yeah.
Because Carrie's gone and Ford's not going to be involved anymore.
Yeah.
And it's like the team's gone. And why do I want to be the one old guy on the team left?
Yeah.
So, flip side, I remember seeing two or three articles earlier in the week about that. I'm like, okay, that's kind of stinks. But maybe he can change his mind for like a little cameo.
Yeah.
Pop in as a Force ghost. But no. Guess who is coming as a Force ghost? Makes sense. Who trained Luke, who was there on the island when
Yoda.
Yoda's coming back.
Awesome.
Yoda's going to apparently make an appearance.
I need more Yoda
touching,
in my life.
Touching in with Rey, you know. And we can go talk about this when we get to talk about the book a little bit.
Yeah.
He's kind of like, he is the linchpin. I mean, when Luke is going to torch the thing, Yoda shows up and...
And basically is like, yeah, you know, he sees Luke hesitate and then he goes ahead and... does the job for him because Luke isn't going to burn it. And then all of a sudden he shoots a bolt of lightning that he uses the Force with and torches it. And he's, you know, that's whenever, you know, I always say you get great Yoda-isms from every movie. And, you know, he gave another one. And that one is that, you know, they are what we grow. We are what they grow. What is it?
I got a clip of it.
Oh, okay.
Cause I wanted to talk about that. Cause I think after reading the book that scene with Luke and Yoda giving him the advice is the key to what the entire movie was about.
Yeah.
Failure.
Yeah.
Everybody grasps about, well, they didn't do anything. They all failed and everything. Poe sucked because he got all these people killed.
Yeah.
Rose and Finn didn't accomplish anything. And that's the point of the movie.
That's the point of the movie.
There's character development. At the end of the movie, Poe realizes... ultimate just sacrificing everything's not worth getting everybody killed.
Yes.
And Finn realizes there's something worth fighting for.
Yeah.
Rose teaches him after Rose bumps into him or crashes into him, almost kills him trying to save his life.
Technically kamikaze.
We're not going to win by fighting what we hate. We're gonna win by saving what we love.
Yeah.
Then gives him a little smooch.
That's going to do the bonsai for
you. And that's what they all learned something.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Rey learned that, hey, I'm kind of a badass.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's moving rocks.
She had it within her all the time.
Yeah.
And the book really showed the novelization really shows how she just kind of teaches herself, trains herself just by instinct. Yeah, Luke gave her like some little insights, not trying to.
Yeah.
He was just trying to be a jerk and say, this needs to end.
Yeah.
But that, to me, is really what I got out of that.
I think he taught her the main thing of actually like reaching out and tapping into the force instead of using it by accident.
Right. Because, and then, yeah. And then she starts learning, like when she's in the fight scene, you can't tell this in the movie, but in the fight scene.
And the fight scene in the throne room is
against the Praetorian Guard or whatever they're called.
Yeah. She realizes that she lets go during that.
She just does it instinctively.
And then she's moving and not even realizing that her body's doing what the body's doing is because she's released at that point in time and allowed the force to take control, and is technically kind of, I guess, like using her as a puppet.
Yeah.
To say the least, you know.
Let's see if I can get this to play.
All right.
One moment.
Yeah, that's. I advise anybody that enjoyed The Last Jedi, that enjoys Star Wars books, to read The Last Jedi novelization.
And just because it's the beginning, the opening prologue.
Yeah.
Was so good. Should we say?
Yeah, I don't see why not. It's not that big of a spoiler because technically it's compared to. And I thought, whenever I first kicked off and they said Cammy, and I was like, oh wow, they are tapping some.
Back to the original,
but not just to the original like novel, but to the original movie and a deleted scene in the original movie with where Luke Skywalker's outside and he sees the Star Destroyer. You know, zip into frame or whatever, and he goes inside and tells his friends, and they come back outside, and it's Fixer and Cammy. They were boyfriend girlfriend, and they, you know, they make fun of him basically, calling him Wormy, and then that's where Big shows up.
I remember reading that not that long ago when I was reading that book, and I was like, God, they were really mean to Luke. He's the little snot nosed kid that everybody kind of picked on, except for his buddy.
Yeah,
Biggs was cool to him.
Yeah.
That's
one thing that I kind of wish that they would have left in the actual original movie is him and his relationship with Biggs, because you don't really get that feeling of him and Biggs being like good friends there in the movie, because they only see each other for like 5 seconds before they split up, and he's like, we'll meet up and have beers afterwards or whatever. Not really, you know, but still, like, it's kind of like the sense that you get from it. And then come to find out that, you know, Biggs doesn't make it back. Spoiler alert on a 40-year-old movie, Biggs gets killed. But anyway, if you listen to this, you know that.
I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Heeded my words not, did you? Yoda said. Pass on what you have learned. Wisdom, yes, but folly also. Strength and mastery, but weakness and failure. Yes, failure. Most of all, the greatest teacher failure is. And then he sounded faintly regretful. We are what they grow beyond.
And that's it.
The true burden of all masters.
That is the true burden of all masters. We are what they grow beyond. And that's, like, to me, like I always say, you know, you've got lots and lots and lots of words, lots of phrases that you can live by from Yoda.
Right.
Mine is, you know, and I've got it tattooed on me, it's, you know, do or do not, there is no try.
Yeah.
You know, and that was mine as a kid. Now that I've gotten older, you know, it's all obvious, like, and that's what's great about that, is that phrase almost seems like it's written for our generation.
Yeah.
And the people that have kids now. And worrying that if you failed about anything or whatever, but no, you are what they grow beyond.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, man, that's just one of those. Like, it gets me into, like, I get chills. You know, it's, man.
Yeah, that little clip shows just, I don't know if it's going to pick up on the recording or not, but just the so much sound development behind, production behind this. It's not just the guy reading it. He's awesome because he plays Kylo perfectly.
Yeah.
He plays Finn perfectly. He does all these different characters, and it almost sounds sometimes like it's actually the original actor in it.
You should actually hear him do Solo at times, man. He does a great Solo, man. Like, it is pretty awesome. The narrator's name is Mark Thompson. Speaking of which, where'd you get that book at, Mike?
Got that from Audible.
Audible.com/Nerdy Legion. Go by, sign up, get you a free book.
Get you
200,000 books to choose from, and God, I've got a lot to choose from.
Oh my goodness, yeah, it's nonstop. That one is an excellent Star Wars
book. I enjoyed the heck out of it. I'm going to listen to it again.
I'm going to listen to it again. I got another one. In case you don't want to do The Last Jedi, you're like, yeah, guys, we hated Last Jedi. I'm going to tell you to go and get the Star Wars radio dramas. They're on Audible as well.
Oh, really?
Yes. And it's radio drama. It's done like a 1930s, 40s radio show.
Sweet.
And the first two, Star Wars A New Hope and then Empire Strikes Back actually has Mark Hamill doing the voice of Luke Skywalker. But anyways, yeah, go by and check those out. Get The Last Jedi. Get the Star Wars radio dramas. Whatever your little heart desires. Anyways, back to The Last Jedi novelization there. That's what another thing I really noticed in the novelization that really doesn't, I won't say that is kind of lost in the movie, but you don't really get the seriousness sense of it in the movie, is how much basically Finn is in love with Rey.
Yeah.
Like, I never thought that he was like in love with her. I always thought that they were just like good buddies or whatever. Like, he really cared for her, but like, you really get the sense that he's like in love with this character of Rey.
Yeah.
Granted, I don't know if it's reciprocated or not, but, and that he kind of lost a little bit of it there towards the end is almost what it seemed like too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, obviously as we could tell, like, he was really caring for Rose there at the end well.
Yeah.
So, that was another little tidbit that I got from the novelization as well. And I sent you a message the other day and I can't remember exactly what it was, but I'm going to get into like
what you think the next movie,
what I think the next movie is going to be. And I don't want to, like, if there's more stuff you want to talk about Last Jedi real fast, we can go ahead and talk about that.
A couple little things. One, the last scene they threw in, and actually I heard on Star Wars 7x7 with the great Adam Voivod, Canadian.
Yeah.
He does it, and I'm addicted to his show. It's like anywhere from like 10 to 20 minutes every day he talks about something Star Wars. He was going through, he went and covered the entire novel, going through little parts of it and saying, this is things that I caught out of this chapter. Then he had the author on.
Oh, wow.
And they brought up that last scene where Chewbacca
and
Princess Leia, or General Organa, are in the Falcon. And I'll let you describe what happens in a second, but that scene was added literally almost a month before the book was released, and it was suggested by a couple of the editors that he was working with at the Lucasfilm, the book department section.
Oh, okay,
And they kind of came to him, and he's like, yeah, that's perfect. And I remember reading it, and I was like, oh, dude, if this scene was in the movie...
Yeah.
A lot of people that are hating on it so much would have melted because of it.
I know that there would have been I got emotional a couple of times during that movie. Like whenever R2 and Luke have their reunion, I love that, because that's one thing I really hope seeing going forward in the movies, is that I'm hoping that Rey kind of adopts R2 as her own now. And that he's going to be her astromech, because Finn's got BB-8, so we can't have BB-8 following her around.
Sticks also there on the Falcon with her and Chewbacca.
I do too, and I really kind of think I guess
she's got Chewbacca.
yeah. I think she's going to kind of fulfill that role of Han / Luke in the movies or whatever.
Right.
But she's going to be now tooling around in the Falcon with Chewbacca, and R2-D2 is going to be her sidekick, is what it seems like to me. But like that whole that scene of Luke and R2 meeting back up. Obviously, the scene where Luke becomes one with the Force, and there was this thing that I caught with that also that I'm really disappointed that they didn't do in the movie. And as it's given that description, like, dude, look at the chill bumps I'm getting here.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, dude, I don't know if I'm going to make through it without crying. I got a little bit misty out at work. And he says, Luke, let go, Luke.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be like Obi-Wan Kenobi telling him that. And then, of course, that's whenever he like dissolves into the Force.
Oh, God, yeah.
Dude, my voice is getting all croaky.
He's there and he's struggling to get back up. And he says, I got me too.
Let go, Luke.
And it's been...
Like, oh, damn it, man. Like...
that got me so hard at work. And I'm like, I'm sitting there, I'm like, no, you're building military stuff. You can't cry. Like,
oh man, I wish. And I want to go back and listen real closely. I don't think they did that.
Yeah.
No,
they didn't. It would have been nice. I watched it on Friday whenever I got home from work because I wanted to check to make sure that right. that was in there. And I think if they would have put that in there, dude, that there. Whew, if you're a fan of Star Wars whatsoever, if you would have heard "Let go, Luke," and then him, like,
which is kind of what he like Rey learns.
Yeah,
just let go. Stop trying to do it all yourself.
Yeah,
let go. And
well, and it's like you said, this the whole movie basis is failure.
Yeah,
and learning from failure, moving beyond your failure. And it's also about, Kylo says it, about letting go of the past.
Yeah.
And forgetting the past or killing the past. I think what he says basically is like, you know, kill it. Mm-hmm. Let go of the past. Kill it or whatever. But yeah, the whole basis of the movie is that. But and then the final scene in the book, before it gets to the little boy in the stable, because it still ends with that. And spoiler alert, if you don't want to hear what happens in the book, I'm going to give you just a second. And you can fast forward it. We'll say... Fast forward a minute and 30 seconds, and okay. Should be fine. Okay, so what happens in the book is there's a meeting on the bridge of the Falcon, the cockpit of the Falcon, with Leia and Chewbacca. And, like, it starts going through all these emotions of, you know, her, the first time she's been on been in the cockpit of the Falcon without Han and Chewbacca being there. And, like, it totally makes up for the lack of... That's what bothered me, and I know it bothered a lot of people about mm-hmm. The Force Awakens, was like, Leia runs to Rey, even though she knows Han is dead. She felt in the Force that Han is dead. Mm-hmm. She runs to Rey instead of going to Chewbacca.
Yeah, yeah.
And that always kind of bothered me a little bit or whatever. I always kind of claimed it as, like, Chewbacca was looking after Finn at this point in time. Right. Like, he's got a mindset on that because that's how he's dealing with the grief of losing his best friend or whatever. But yeah, that always kind of bothered me, and so, like... To me, that scene that they added there at the bridge of the Falcon, I keep calling it the bridge, but the cockpit of the Falcon,
yeah.
They kind of make up for that lack of
There's a lot sympathy. Of emotion.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of emotion. I can't really do it all justice that I'm not even going to try. Maybe, do you have it clipped up?
I don't. I could find it, but just say that you won't be disappointed if you make it through the end of it,
yeah.
The novel. And there's a lot of other, there are a couple of other interesting things before you move on to your predictions. We get Han's funeral in the book.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, like they do, like a Viking funeral kind of for him, right?
Yeah.
And we get Leia's use of the Force, which a lot of people hated.
I like the way that they did that in the book, though. Because in the book, it has her pull herself to the starship, just like what happened beforehand. But instead of, you know, them opening the door for her, she actually, like, floats through it and like, actually says why everybody just doesn't get sucked out into space. Yeah. Like, there's another hatch that closes behind her, and then the inner doors to the cruiser opens up.
Right.
So that was one thing that they did in the book that I was really kind of happy with. And I don't know, I love the book, but then again, I love the movie also, but yeah. You know, hardly ever is there a time whenever I watch a Star Wars movie and then really, really love the book also. I usually do like the book as well, but I loved this book.
Loved it, yeah. There's another, what did you think about this part? I wish they'd have had it in, you know, the movie was a long running movie and
yeah.
You have to make tough calls, but there's the scene where, you know, you know, in the movie, you have Rey doing the voiceover of her descent into
the hole
and the mirrors and all that, and then it clips to her or cuts to her in the hut with Kylo, right?
Yeah,
that was a tough.
Oh,
that was a tough section for her for him to write in the novel because he didn't know how to do it.
Yeah,
so he did as best he could, but he filled that in by showing more of what Luke was doing after he opened himself back up to the Force, reaching out to feel for Leia, see how she's doing, or whatever the hell he was doing. But he changed his mind.
He's going to go back with him.
That was that whole section there. See, I got the chills there
because
that part of the book really touched me because he's like, he wasn't the grumpy old SOB.
Yeah, all of a sudden he had
that vigor.
Yeah, all of a sudden he had Luke back now.
Yeah,
hope.
hope. He kept bringing up hope in that section.
Yeah.
And one of the things that was floating around the internet this week was his journey begins with a projected hologram from R2-D2 of her.
Yeah.
And she's saying, help me, Ben Kenobi.
Yeah.
And his life or his journey ends with him projecting himself to save her. One more time.
Yeah, and that's like there it goes again.
Like, it's so good.
I know it, right?
Like, so many good things.
Oh man, I keep bumping the crap out of my microphone stand. I'm sorry, everybody. So you're gonna hear a lot of thunk thunk. But yeah, that's one of those. I wish I would have been smart enough to pick that up. Like whoever came up with that is just this shy of genius, or maybe they're cross genius, because I don't think I ever would have picked that up. Like that's such a great observation. You know, I try to look for little things in there or whatever, and I'll notice little stuff here and there that, you know, about 100,000 other people find as well. But, like, you know, that whole thing of you know, the story of Luke Skywalker starts with the projection of Princess Leia saying, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope. And now he's on a quest. I've got to find out who this Obi-Wan Kenobi is, because she's beautiful. Well, it turns out to be a lot more than that.
Right.
But then his quest ends with him projecting to save the beautiful girl in the projection.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I love it. That's so smart, too. And you know, that's what I can guarantee you, that is the whole point that Rian Johnson had with that.
Yeah, yeah.
And why can't you just come out and tell us? I love the guy. I'm like, man, I'm ready for it.
Which ties into my next thing I wanted to bring up, association with the novel and him going off to do three more movies
A
series of movies. Something came out that he's looking to go into the past.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that means, but I've got some hopes and guesses, because one thing, do you remember what you caught about Snoke's background in the book? About how he wasn't a Sith.
Yeah.
He had learned the mysteries of the Force. Apparently, where Luke went to find the old temple for the Jedi was out in the outer rim. That's kind of where Snoke had been sent and was working for Emperor Palpatine before the Empire fell. Palpatine had this whole system. The First Order rose up out of Palpatine. Palpatine had it thought out.
Yeah, had it designed that in case
he had it designed to continue if something ever happened to him.
Yeah,
so they didn't just all of a sudden pop into being. They kind of were in existence already.
Yeah,
out in the outer rim. And that's where the original Jedis had gone searching and found this truths of the Force or mystery of the Force. And so I'm thinking that we're going to get to see something like that.
I hope so.
Like a wild gunslinger adventure, people learning stuff. And another sentence in the book, because I re-listened to a couple of parts today.
Yeah.
They talked about when Luke was going to burn down the tree
at
the end. Something about, there's just like two or three sentences there, something about the Jedis were just one of many various sects and religions based on the Force.
Oh, wow. See, I didn't even catch that.
I caught it today,
the
second time around. So there's all, it's not just the Jedi and the Sith. Like, and growing up, that's what, there's the Jedi and there's the Sith. There's the good guys and the bad guys. And one thing we've learned from like the other movies, Jedis weren't always right and good and didn't always make good decisions.
Oh, yeah.
Just because you were a Jedi doesn't mean
that you were infallible.
Right.
Yeah.
And Yoda kind of even agrees with it at the end of the movie. Yeah. That's like, okay, burn it.
Yeah, yeah, burn it. Real page turners were they. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a lot. I'm kind of hoping I want that. Maybe he won't give us that movie about the first Jedi. But there's
so many things that you could do. You don't have to get the first Jedi, but you could take it back, you know, because 1,000 generations, I think, is what they say.
Yeah.
You know, that the Jedi has been around for 1,000 generations. Lord, you could take it back 500 generations and it'd still be like, I mean, good God, man. That's
you can just open it up to anything, though.
Yeah.
That opens it up to where it's not always got to be a Skywalker story. It's not always got to be a Jedi Sith.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of cool stuff. It's kind of like the guy in Chirrut in Rogue One. He wasn't a Jedi.
No.
But he was Force sensitive, and he
was Force sensitive. He was a guardian of the wills.
In all of
them. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. That's actually what I would like to see. I would love to see maybe some sort of like a, and that's what I'm hoping that, Rian Johnson's going to do. Kind of like, and now that you said that, like, I'm kind of wondering if what he might be going for on this next series is maybe doing like something with the Guardians of the Wills,
yeah,
and maybe sort of like one of those Seven Samurai movies, like,
oh yeah,
with you know, using, you know, like maybe even getting Donnie Yen again to come back and not necessarily reprise the role of Chirrut Imwe, but maybe doing like a different character or whatever who's, you know, I mean, I just had this awesome visual, yeah, in my head of like Jedi Defenders of the Wills maybe fighting some like Sith Guardian type things or whatever, like armies clashing like samurai style or whatever, which and would be like, freaking amazing.
Get that,
like,
big battle movie, that soldier or that soldier's like a, what would you call it, like the what we kind of expected in Rogue One before it kind of got changed.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the actual war movie, like the Saving Private Ryan style, yeah, war movie or whatever. Yeah, dude, that would. I'm thinking that I wonder if they'll take like an Asian turn with that and kind of maybe go with some, I don't know. I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, I can sit here and build this whole thing up and be like, that would be awesome. And then it's like,
it's going to be something totally different.
Yeah. And then it
could be a retelling of Pinocchio. Yeah.
I really hope that it is like set in the past, because that's an area that's completely, totally untouched by like movies. And like, I know there's been video games and some comics and stuff like that done during the Old Republic style or whatever.
Yeah.
But I want to see. Yeah, I want to see something like that. Maybe, like, you know, they might not even go with an Asian background on it. They might go with, like, you know, make the Jedis more like Templars or something and whatever. But I would love to see something to that effect. Maybe, like, man, that would be beautiful. And then, again, you could maybe do an Old Republic thing and you know, a battle of whatever. I don't care. Like, just, I'm game for, give me all Star Wars.
I'd like to see them, you know, take on different genres.
Yeah.
You know, give us that horror
version, yeah,
of Star Wars.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's doable.
Oh, God, yeah.
The, you know, mystery,
yeah,
adventure, with our all adventures. But, you know,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? You can play with it a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Well, you've got a heist movie coming up. You've had, like, the kind of, like, ultimate war movie. And it wasn't really, like, the ultimate war movie, but, like, I want to see, like you said, like, an adventure, like, maybe, like, yeah, I don't even know, man. I just, like I keep saying, like, you can't give me enough right now. I don't care if you decide to kind of slow down and maybe give us one movie every 2 years.
Right.
Or whatever. That's totally fine by me. But yeah, or you can still give us one movie every year, and maybe
if Marvel can get away with it.
Oh,
they,
yeah,
as many as movies they put out, Star Wars fans can. Some are going to get some, you know, tired of it,
yeah,
after a while.
And that's one thing that really gets kind of old to me, is everybody going like, well, are they going to burn Star Wars out of making a movie a year? Are they gonna burn it out? I don't think that you're going to, because you do have such a vast, vast, vast galaxy to pull from.
Right.
I mean, you think of it, it's endless. It is endless, because you could have every single world in that galaxy be something different,
mm-hmm,
from a different time zone.
We're getting I guess it would be Jon Favreau's going to do his series.
Yeah.
We got the Benioff and Weiss doing their movie or group of movies. We don't know what they're, yeah, going to do. We got Johnson, and we've got, you know, there's talks about maybe a Lando movie,
yeah,
which would be cool, seeing Donald Glover. He's awesome.
That would be cool. And like, I wanted to talk about that with that whenever Steven's here, but since he's not here, I guess he's just gonna miss out, because I like the idea of a Lando movie. In fact, it made my top 10 list.
Yeah,
but there's other characters I want to see them do before they do a Lando movie. I can see them going ahead and doing it right now, just because, you know, if they're gonna like keep with the whole thing and be, yeah, like an early thing, then they need to get on it right now, since Donald Glover's still the same age, instead of waiting 20-30 years down the road and then trying to do it then or whatever. But, like, you know, I would love to see an Obi-Wan. I'd love to see a Yoda. I'd love to see a Boba Fett. I'd love to see, you know, I had this written down at one point in time, but I don't know what I did with it. But we'll talk about that whenever Steven gets back.
Yeah, I'm sure. Because I know he has some people
in, yeah,
mind too.
Yeah.
Good stuff, though.
Oh, God, yeah.
So that's kind of what I was thinking. I caught that stuff in the book, and it made me think about, well, maybe Rian Johnson had some stuff in the script that made, maybe he's planting the seeds of what's coming with his work in the future.
Yeah.
In that, because he seems really interested in the past.
Yeah, he does. He does, because, and especially with the, you know, like you said, the basis of this movie was
killing the past and letting go of the past or whatever, but he references it so much that you gotta see that he's obviously interested in it. And I'm excited to see, or, you know, we could be completely, totally wrong. Maybe he's
probably
gonna,
are.
Yeah, maybe he's going to jump sad. Like 100, 200 years in the future or whatever.
Yeah.
Which would still just be
fine with me.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm game for it all.
Good stuff. You had a prediction though. You have thoughts.
I have thoughts. And you can call it a prediction if you want to. But I kind of feel like I've maybe stumbled across how the next movie is going to go, episode 9. And I probably am going to be completely, totally wrong. But we'll have a recording of it. So whenever it comes out, maybe we can compare it.
Yeah.
And find it. Kindle's like making noise. Sorry about that, guys. But I usually have it muted, as you can tell, whenever we couldn't get any sound earlier, but now it won't shut up. I kind of have an idea, I think, on how it's going to go, and we'll have to find out, because as I can't remember how I worded it. I'm trying to remember how I worded it in the message, but like the movies have always. Okay, Star Wars, in essence, boils down to faith, hope, and love. You know, and that's a big thing in mythology throughout time. And, you know, Rogue One specifies hope so much. This movie specifies hope so much. But in essence, when we boil Star Wars down, it is about faith, hope, and love. All right? You have faith in the Force, faith in their friends. Hope for a better, brighter galaxy. Hope for their friends as well. And then love for their fellow man, and then again, friends. So it's right. You know, faith, hope, and love, friends, and then redemption.
Yeah,
you know, the original trilogy, all six movies. That's the prequel trilogy and the original trilogy. And I know people are going to crucify me for even lumping those two together, but it is one story.
Yeah,
you know, and in essence, that whole six film arc is about a fall to the dark side, and then the rise back to the light, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And the ultimate goal is the redemption, bringing the love of a son for the love of a father.
Yeah.
And vice versa, the love of the father for the son, to where he sees him being electrocuted and he can't stand it anymore. He takes him and throws him over the edge. Mm-hmm. So here's my thought. Like, we can obviously tell, and in the book it even kind of like mentions a little bit, like you kind of get a feeling in the book and in the movie, you kind of get a feeling that there's a little bit of a spark almost between...
There's something.
Between Kylo Ren and I keep wanting to say Daisy Ridley, Rey.
Right.
And, you know, I can't remember what the line is, but she says something about, like, I'm alone or whatever. And he goes, no, I'm with you, or I'm here, or something like that. I can't remember exactly what the exact line is. And that's whenever she kind of has that feeling of like, oh, okay, wow. Again, like, because it all spurred from, like, I don't think that her parents are nobodies. I think that her parents are still going to be somebody significant, whether she might be the daughter of Solo, just not mothered by Leia.
Yeah.
Which is quite a possibility. And then again, she could be a daughter of Skywalker. We don't know.
Yeah.
And I think it's either A, going to be a spark of actual love, of attraction of two people between her and Kylo, or either the love of siblings that brings Kylo back from the dark. Because, in essence, they've all been about redemption.
Yeah.
I believe that it might be done just like Vader, where Ren has to die to fully be redeemed.
Yeah.
But I feel like one of those is going to happen. Either she's going to bring him back from the light side, from the dark side, with love. I believe that's one thing that's going to happen. She's going to wind up bringing him back from the dark side with love. Whether it's going to be because she is like a sibling and or stepless sibling, or that she is just, you know, like we said, there seemed like there was some sort of connection being made there between the two.
Seemed like that to me since Force Awakens.
Oh yeah,
I had this feeling that there's some connection, and maybe there's not.
Yeah,
Rian Johnson apparently threw
a curveball.
Mark Hamill leaked this too. Something about that J.J. Abrams had a different thoughts in his head for Rey.
Oh
for
yeah,
her parentage, and Rian Johnson's like, eh. I'm just gonna tweak this here, but because Snoke was controlling the visions that they were both seeing.
But was he really though? Because remember, at the end of The Last Jedi, true. And even in the book, they have another connection there.
But I think that he probably opened that link, and it grew so strong.
Yeah, it's possible, and that might be. Tell me how cheesy this sounds, but that link could be getting stronger because it's fed from love.
Yeah. Yeah, but she love hate because she really can't see how he did what he did to. And I don't know if he never really gave a good explanation as to why he killed Han.
Yeah.
He just felt like he needed to become this.
Yeah, he said he was too soft hearted or too kind hearted or whatever.
Weak, yeah.
Too weak. So they had to kill the weakness or whatever.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, obviously, like, he still has love because he couldn't pull the trigger on his mom.
Yeah.
He couldn't pull the trigger on Leia.
So there's still conflict there. I mean, he's definitely broken with the whole being somebody's lackey. Like, even Darth Vader was somebody's lackey until the end. He's not.
And technically, like, he's not, but he still is kind of, because he's kind of Vader's lackey, trying to live up emulate
Vader. But he says kill the past. I think that's something else.
So you think he might have finally turned the corner and has decided to drop off that whole, like,
want
to
be like granddad thing?
Yeah,
maybe. I don't know.
I would like to see that. I would like to see his progression, because to me, that's what it seems like. It seems like his, because even you said it just a minute ago, this movie is really about character building, and it is.
Didn't seem like it the first view. I didn't get it.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. But it's, to me, the pairing the movie with the book is like a fine wine and cheese.
Oh, yeah.
Because now I've understood so much about it. It's kind of like The Empire Strikes Back. A lot of people, when The Empire Strikes Back came out, a lot of people disliked it. They hated it. I won't say they hated it, but I know a lot of people disliked it, called it the boring one.
Yeah, and that's now everybody's favorite.
And now it's everybody's favorite because everybody realizes that how much character is built in that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And, oh, man, like, it's just...
And people might say, well, you shouldn't have to read the novel to get this. I mean, that's a fair assessment. If you think the movie fails because it doesn't really show this explicitly,
yeah,
I get that. But it's still there.
It is. It is still there. And like, if you want to like the movie and you're just like, oh, I can't bring myself to like it just because of this, then read the novel. Read the novel.
Yeah.
Because then if you're really, really, if you're on the fence and you're like, I just didn't like it, but I want to like it, then read the novel. And even if you didn't like the movie and you just don't want to read the novel, still, I suggest it. Just whenever you have free time, just pick it up and read it. You will get it eventually. And if you don't, then hit me up and I'll send you the money for the book. Not really, but
no.
I'm just saying.
Oh, no.
Notice I whispered, not really.
We have no money. Yeah. We're broke, too. Broke Texans here, dude.
Yeah, I'm super broke Texans right now.
Whatever Dave says on this podcast is not endorsed by Michael.
Yeah, I'm not sending you money. I'm just joking around. I'll send you an IOU in the mail or something like that. Can you PayPal people an IOU?
No. I would.
Right?
What redemption, though? To you, what does... See, that bothers me, because I know that Vader was redeemed at the end of Star Wars, but had he lived, I still would have wanted to see him squashed under a building for all the evil he'd done. But he redeemed himself and saved his son, and his son can... Yeah, my dad's Darth Vader, this evil person... But he at least cared enough for me to do something right for once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Darth Vader saves the galaxy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. The whole...
He's not absolved.
Yeah, exactly. He's not absolved of his crimes, I don't say. I think that he's brought back. But then, you know, you could also say that, you know, along with faith, hope, and love, and redemption, it's also forgiveness.
Forgiveness, yeah. Yeah.
You know, because it's... It's, man, that's whenever you start getting into those, that's one of these things that I think is going to be my next, like, assignment that I'll give myself, is, like, just go through and find, like, the different themes in there, because, you know, faith, hope, and love is, like, an old one that's, like, I was saying earlier, that's all throughout mythology. One of the biggest ones that I can think of right off the top of my head is what is it? Is it Corinthians 1:10?
Oh yeah.
Faith, hope, and love, and the strongest of
something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
13:10.
13:10. Yeah.
Ooh, Bible. Oh,
look at that. Your mom's gonna be so proud.
Well, yeah, my mom's come from.
All that Sunday school paid off. Well, yeah. And vacation Bible school. And... oh my goodness. Yeah. You did just pull that.
Yeah, I did, and I think I'm right.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you are. Yeah. I actually used that whenever Steven got married. I did this neat thing because I like doing things like this, man. It's kind of weird, and I know we're totally getting off topic.
Yeah, the whole everybody, a lot of weddings use it.
Yeah.
Love knows no limits to its endurance, no end to its trust, no fading of its hope. It can outlast anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for his wedding, I did this thing because I got ordained. I am Reverend Wookie Dave or something like that. Reverend David. Anyways, I thought about starting a business and like getting like a flame suit and going and being like a badass reverend and marrying people. But anyways, I did for their ceremony. I did this. It was comparing wedding ceremonies,
yeah,
between Romans and Vikings or whatever.
Oh, cool.
Which you know me, I dig the whole Viking thing and all like this type of stuff. So I wanted to use that one. Plus, that's kind of where the term honeymoon comes from, because what they would do is they would take the newly wed couples, because you know they were very like astrological in a way, yeah. You know, and so they would always get married on a full moon. And so they would take the newly wedded couple,
yeah,
and put them in a like basically like a honeymoon cottage.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not what it was. It's just obviously a lot more antiquated than that, but they would put them in a honeymoon cottage, right. And they would give them a barrel of mead, and they didn't even leave for food because it was supposed to consummate the marriage. At that point in time, you're supposed to basically have a kid after this,
yeah.
To seal the deal of the marriage. And so, like, basically, they've got one reason that they're in that cottage for, and that was it. And they're not supposed to leave for food. They're not supposed to leave for drink. And so that what they do is they put them in there with a cask of mead, and then they would bring them food. And then they would stay in there until the next full moon.
Wow.
Yeah. So, honeymoon, mead honey is made mead. From honey.
Yeah.
And then the moon, the arc of the moon with the next one, that's how the whole term of honeymoon came about.
Yeah.
But, yeah, sorry, I totally went off on a little...
See, I'm not the derailer. I've been keeping us on track today, dude.
I know, right? You've been pretty good with that, man. It could be that whip that you've got over there at your side that you're fighting me with.
Yeah, so. Well, I've tried not to use it too much.
Yeah, I know. We were channeling Indiana Jones. I saw it over there, and I just didn't want to... Whoa! Calm down, dude. Ow! I'm sorry. Dude...
Oh.
How can you not hear that song and just not get pumped?
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to tell me what app that is after this. That way
pocket whip.
Pocket whip?
Simple pocket whip.
Does it have different whips that you can choose?
It's got lots of different whips.
Oh my goodness. Whoa. That's getting scary.
This is a big bull whip. And this is like a one you'd see like with, I guess, like horses. Or in a cattle. Phone's taking pictures.
Oh wow! I was like, I thought it was my lights on my shelves going
that's
out there.
The three it has.
Yeah, it was blinking. Your
yeah, that's weird.
That's
the Russians are hacked my phone.
I guess so, right? It's all because of Mark Zuckerberg.
The next Poe comic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. To kind of carry on a Last Jedi talk, I saw that the next I think it's coming out this week or next week.
Okay,
number 28 or 29. I haven't read them. I don't know if you
I haven't.
But if you want to see a little bit more of what happens after The Last Jedi. Oh,
okay.
It's going to be Poe with Finn and Rey.
Really?
Hanging out, I think, on the Falcon. Just kind of like decompressing and kind of sharing war stories.
Oh, okay.
Which I might actually pick that up and just to see.
Yeah, that sounds actually kinda pretty neat. Interesting. And the last time you were here, I gave you the Star Wars run by Dark Horse. That was,
man, that's crazy.
Yeah, it was one of the last comics ran by Dark Horse. Before Marvel took over the license, and it's the first, what is it, the first rough draft?
One of the first drafts that Lucas had when he was coming up with this thing that became what we know today, and what he came up with is the first vision was nothing like what we've got.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Darth Vader's in it, but he's not Darth Vader.
No.
And, you know, Luke Skywalker's this old... old general, Jedi general, that's kind of in charge of an Imperial army for some people that are fighting against the Empire.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy. I've read two issues of it. It's really good.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
it's like, I keep watching, reading it, and like, I'm kind of glad this isn't what got made.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't think it would have had as much staying power if it would have gotten made. And like, I think it's been a while since I've read that one, and I can't remember. But I want to say that some of the artwork in that was really, really inspired, really heavily inspired by the Ralph McQuarrie art.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
And that's one of those guys that I keep telling everybody. That's like, if you don't know who Ralph McQuarrie is, just go look at his stuff, man. Like, it's amazing. It's downright amazing. Like, not only like is the design like really, really technical and really beautiful, but like, it's just, you can thank Ralph McQuarrie for Star Wars even being made.
Yeah.
Because without the Ralph McQuarrie illustrations, then Fox never would have said, okay, yeah, we'll make that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so. But I think that's going to do it for us today, man. You know.
So this is the heaviest Star Wars.
Heaviest Star Wars episode that we've had in a while.
Wow.
Yeah, but, you know, it's been fun.
I was excited about it. I mean, I love the novel.
It was kind of hard not to with the Solo trailer coming out this week, and you and I both finishing the Last Jedi novel.
I wanted to get those thoughts out of my head and talk to you about it before much longer, because, hey, I'm old, and right. I forget stuff.
Well, it's like, I sent you to the group text with me, you, and Steven about the whole redemption speech and all like this, and the faith, hope, and love, and and it was an audio text, and that's the reason why I wish I would have.
I could play it right now.
I should have just played it, because like I feel like I did a lot better during that, because it's still fresh in my mind. Because like I said, I'll have those thoughts and things like that at work, and it's like if I don't write it down, then obviously I forget it. So that's the reason why I sent it to y'all in the audio form, because it was so much longer than trying to like type it all out. And if I would have tried to type that, I suck at texting, and if I would have tried to type that out, I would have been typing for 3 hours.
Yeah.
But if you guys, if you're feeling kind of frisky and you want to contact us.
Why are you looking at me like that for, Dave?
You want to contact us between shows, why don't you go on over to that number 2BT. I can't even do it. I was trying to do it all. I was focusing on my light switch back there.
Princess Leia.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. I was feeling, like I said, if you're feeling kind of frisky, go to the letter, the number 2BT show at gmail.com. That's the number 2BT show at gmail.com. Also, the same thing for Twitter. It's just at the number 2BT show. And that's at the number 2BT show. Contact us, tell us you hate us, tell us you love us. I was going to try to do it all sultry and be like, hey, I'm not going to look at you, Mike, while I'm doing this. Because it does kind of weird me out. Oh, God. I'm glad I've made you thoroughly uncomfortable here.
I'm just going to back out of the room. Right? Nah.
With a lightsaber. All right, guys. With that being said, I'm David.
I'm Michael.
And Stormtrooper Steve. 2BT.
Adios.
Signing out.
Vio con Dios.
We got it at the same time.
Hell yeah. Woo. Good Lord. What? What made me this way?
It is hot.
It is hot.
So hot.
Kind of like me. It is hot.
Yeah, I like fish sticks. I like putting fish sticks in my mouth.
What?
Fish sticks.
Good God. Oh.
Something went wrong somewhere, or something went right somewhere.
Right.
There's a naked chicken there.
Oh, yeah.
I used to love her. But I had to kill her. I used to love her. Oh, yeah, but I had to kill her.
Hey, I mean, well, I love you in all sense of the word, all of y'all. But that's man, whatever.
I'm the jerk that wrote a million word prequel to the real story.
All right. Oh, God. Oh. Dude, I like. I don't read too well.
I don't know my words.
I just like looking at the funny.
Do you know your words? I don't know mine. You
get that wild. Whole alphabet thing confused right? me.
Oh, just do like I do. Give up. Just give up on everything. I don't care. The environment's dying. I don't care. Just give up.
Oh, my.
I don't know if this is fun for anybody listening, but it's coming out of my class. Oh, my God. Gotta play to win, man.
I wanna make love to you, woman. I wanna lay you down by the fire. Caress your womanly body. Make it moan and perspire.
I can either A, clinch it, and hope that my body just reabsorbs it. Maybe it'll turn into a burp.
Burp, burp, burp. Are you ready for your vasectomy?
Mike, edit this out.
Yeah. I want to be captain of the committee that makes sure you guys don't F this up.
I swear to God, dude, it came out with a vengeance, too. I don't know. Oh, my God. I don't know. Like the...
Yeah, it's glorious. Yeah. Santa Claus is real. Oh, well, look, he's not that bad of a dude.
Straight to the fart noises. There's only one Dave.
He's a little guy, red hair, that he likes to sing and play his lute.
I don't know, maybe it's my upbringing or something.
I don't know, like, it's just fun. I'm texting. Be like, oh, well, you know, my feet are better than your feet.
Man. You're an old man and pretty much done.
There you go. Dude.
Everything's better with reverb.
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
Giant lump of wet dough. Yeah.
Where are you from? When I was like, Texas.
Oh, whoa. Now, how dare you say that to little Timothy?
Yeah.
This, by the way, spoilers.
Hey. I guess it's the Texas thing.
I love my family.
Excellent.
Oh, you want to be a tough guy? I'll be a show what tough is. And
Go home.
Dude, you mind if I sit over here? And he's like, dude, knock yourself out, man. Oh, it must be a Texas thing. Don't do that, by the way.
I'm having a brain freeze. Oh, no. And I'm like,
Ujaba, the heebie-jeebies.
Face down in a gutter. I don't want to admit defeat, though.
Well, this is not good.
Like, dude, I love it. I love it all.
Whoa, dude. Oh, my God.
Star Wars guys are crazy.
My butt has a cannon.
If you're going to go out, that's the way to do it.
I dig it. It belongs in a museum. Oh, dude, hurry up and get here. Yeah.
Man in black fled across the desert, and the gunslinger followed.
The Last Jedi, Run DMC,
Han, Luke, Leia,
R2 and 3PO,
Rey, Finn,
Yoda, Kenobi,
Poe.
Do or do not, there is no try.
Chewbacca has to die.
The Palpatine.
Betray you.
Chewbacca, you know R.A. Salvatore.
This is a good guy, this is a bad guy. This is a good guy, this is a bad guy. Go.
Dang it. Crap, I'm just, like, stuttering and rambling there. Beans, the wonderful fruit. The more you eat, the more you toot. The more you toot, the better you feel, so eat beans with every meal. I have a belief that if the more you fart, the longer you'll live.
No! You don't stop playing because you get old.
Yeah.
You get old because you stop playing.
That wasn't terrible.
That was pathetic. Ooh.
Nerdy Legion.
Nerdylegion.com.